At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I have a quick church announcement. I'm really excited about what is happening right now in the society. For those of y'all who are new here, back in 2018, about a year or so after starting this podcast, I launched a community called The Society. And this was a community where women will be able to grow in both their faith and their business. At the time, I was growing in my entrepreneurship. I was growing in my faith, and I could not find a space that met me in the totality of who I was. I could find business spaces, but in there, I wasn't able to speak freely about my faith. I would find faith-based spaces, and there, I wouldn't be able to speak freely about my ambition and my goals. And so I really struggled to find a community and a space where I could just fully show up with all the layers of who I am. And in true entrepreneurship fashion, if I can't find something, I create it. And so I created The Society. And since 2018, we have served thousands of women, helping them grow. I started The Society solo. I grew to having one other host. We went to having four hosts. Now we have three, but this community has just grown in ways that I am always in awe of. I always go back to like 2020 when the pandemic first hit, how we had like this thread. Holy Spirit told me to write, hey, is there anybody who needs help? And if you're here and you can provide help, whoever is bold enough to write their need here, let's come together as a community and solve it. And so one thread turned into mortgage getting paid, bills, food, anything that you can think of, just the community came together to solve the needs of others in our community in such a time of tragedy, calamity, and hardship. And that's one of those defining moments of the society where I was like, oh, God, you are doing something here. We made a bold move in 2024 where we changed our business model from for-profit to nonprofit. When I first started The Society, it was a for-profit community. It was a part of the business model that supported the podcast. But as things have grown and as the Lord has revealed more to the assignment, we felt that switching to a 501c3 will allow us to serve people a lot better. It'll allow us to get tax deductible donations. It'll allow us to solicit various in-kind donations as well as monetary donations to be able to give right back to the women in the community. So I formed the Anchored Media Foundation, which is the full nonprofit. And then The Society is our flagship program right now with the Anchored Media Foundation. And so I am very excited about what God is doing because, again, I mean, just to be able to support and give back to Christian women, to Christian entrepreneurs, and not just in a spiritual sense, not just in, you know, the community and the fellowship, but monetarily as well. Be able to write people checks because the economy is rough. To be able to put some food on folks' table, to be able to help people pay for the filings that they need for their businesses. Like these are the tangible ways that we really want to serve people in addition to everything else that we do. And so I'm very excited about what the Lord is going to do. And I want to invite you to come to our fast that we have coming up. So we have a fast that is starting on January 19th. It's happening for 7 days and it's called the First Fruit Fast. So this is an opportunity for us to start the year off focusing on the Lord, putting our attention on Him. Each day, we're going to focus on themes like repentance, sitting in His presence, provision, His guidance, creativity, rest. We're going to have live daily prayer calls, devotionals, assignments, lessons, just so much to start our year off focusing on the Lord. Our community is a paid community, but every time we have a fast, every time we have a challenge, it is always free. And you join by activating your free trial to be able to join us and participate during that free period. So click the link in the show notes to join us for our First Fruits Fast, to be a part of the society, to see all the amazing things going on. And if you want to donate to the Anchored Media Foundation, specifically to the society, I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. All donations go right back into the community. They don't go to me. They don't go to any of the other hosts. We make our money based off of memberships. Any donations go into the bank to go right back in the community. So if you are willing to donate, I'll include that link. But I also, more importantly, I just want you to come and participate and fellowship and be a part of the fast with us. All right. So I know that was long. Sorry, not sorry. God is doing amazing things and I'm excited to brag about them. But nevertheless, this week we are starting with starting back on our Bible on Business series. And until further notice, we could call this the leadership edition because we are going to be spending a lot of time in the book of Acts. If you listen to this podcast, it is because you're either an entrepreneur or you're entrepreneurial. And so because of that, and because of whatever your sphere of influence is, whether it's your block, whether it's hundreds and thousands of followers online, whether you're leading a church, whether you're leading a small group, whether you're leading your family, no matter what your sphere of influence is, we are all called to be disciples. We are all called to spread the good news. And so that puts us all in a space of leadership. And what better place to study for leadership development than the Bible, for one, and more specifically, the book of Acts. If you're new here, we started the Bible on Business series last year because the Lord showed me that too many people were looking everywhere else for business help, marketing advice, sales input, branding, all of these different things. But the Bible truly has everything that we need to do whatever it is that we're doing in life. But many people just don't know how to look and study the scriptures to be able to find that information. And so we explored over, I want to say we had about 12 or 13 episodes last year in the series, and we were able to explore so many things that the Bible had to say about business. And we're going to continue that here, zeroing in specifically on leadership. Our anchor text is Acts 1, verse 1 through 5, and I'm going to be reading it in the ESV. It says, "In the first book, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" The subject that I would like to discuss on this episode is the wait. Here we are in the very beginning of Acts. Acts was written by Luke, and he wrote it after he finished his gospel account. The book of Luke ends with Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and the Acts begins by recounting Jesus' post-resurrection appearances and ascension before moving into the events of Pentecost. The gap between the two books is about 40 days, so this is that period between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, and that's what we just read here when he went back up to heaven and told them, wait, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And of course, spoiler alert, which we all know, the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. So this was about 10 days after he ascended back to heaven. So he told them it wouldn't be too long. And then we know that it was about 10 days from his ascension to Pentecost. But nevertheless, they had to wait. Waiting is something that all of us will have to do many times on our journeys. waiting. I will put all my money to say it's something all of us hate. We, especially those of us who have gotten accustomed to this technology age and all of that, we hate to wait. We could find out information in a snap. We can do things so quickly and so easily. I think it's 10 times more agonizing for us to wait because of everything that we have access to. I believe that what makes the wait agonizing is not just the impatience, but the internal noise that the wait highlights, right? So if you're trusting and believing in God for something, and it hasn't happened yet, or if you're in a season, let's say, of suffering that he is putting you under so that you can be developed, every day you feel the weight of the wait. You feel the W-E-I-G-H-T of the W-A-I-T. You feel it. It hurts. It's sore. So as I was reading this, one of the things that I like to do is really put myself in the text. Not in like an eisegesis type of way where I'm trying to make this scripture about me, but what I'm saying is I like to immerse myself in what's going on. So similar to, let's say, if you're at a movie theater and it's a 3D movie, so it's this immersive experience to where you're not just watching it on TV, but it's jumping out. You hear the sound around you. You're surrounded by, I don't know, if there's lights or whatever. It now becomes this immersive experience that really allows you to connect with the story or whatever you're watching even more. So the same thing is something that I like to do when it comes to the text. I want to understand the time period, the culture of that time, what they may have been going through, what their perspectives were, just really get to know as much context as possible so that I can create this immersive experience with what I'm reading, because that personally helps me better to understand it and internalize what the Lord is doing. So when it came to starting off reading Acts, I had to pause here because I'm like, okay, hold on. I know how Acts ends. This isn't my first time reading this. Like, I know that Jesus ascended back to heaven, told them to wait. They waited. Pentecost happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They went out and spread the gospel to thousands and thousands. They took a message that was very localized to Jerusalem and took it global. Like, I know what happened in the end. They all died spreading the message. They were all martyred. Everybody, all of the apostles except for John, were martyred. And so as I was rereading Acts and starting it off, I'm like, well, how do we go from? Because remember, Acts was written by Luke after his account of the gospel. So my mindset was there as I'm starting it off. And I'm like, how do we go from these people pretty much abandoning Jesus by the time the resurrection happened in their own way? They fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you go to Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41 in the NIV version, it says, "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Mark 14, 37 and 38 says that Jesus rebuked them for sleeping when they should have been praying. We know Judas betrayed Jesus. Matthew 26, 14 through 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas, went to the chief priest and asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?' So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver." Matthew 26, 47 through 50 says, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. They also fled after Jesus's arrest. Matthew 26 and 56 said, "Then all the disciples abandoned him," or deserted him, "and fled." Mark 14 and 50 says, "Then everyone deserted him and fled." So even though Peter specifically claimed he would never fall away, he and everybody else ran. Speaking of Peter, we know that he denied Jesus 3 times. He vowed to stay with Jesus unto death, but he still denied him 3 times after his arrest. Matthew 26, 69 through 75. It says, before the rooster crows, you would disown me three times. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Luke 22, 61 and 62 says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, and he went outside and wept bitterly. When Jesus was crucified, they ran scared. In John 20, I'm going to start at verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And that's when Jesus, after he was crucified, he revealed himself to him. That was one of the times that it's referring to in the beginning of Acts, where it says that Jesus revealed himself to him. So they were scared, hiding behind closed doors, scared of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, the text said, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. So they ran scared, despite having spent all of this time with Jesus, despite the fact that he already predicted his death. He told them what was going to happen. They still ran in fear. The only one who witnessed his crucifixion was John. And I actually wonder if that was why John wasn't martyred, why he was the only one who, and he still suffered, don't get me wrong, but he was the only one who died due to old age. I wonder if that is a correlation. That'll be a mystery. I guess that will always be a mystery. I'll add that to the list of 50 million things that I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. But nevertheless, these same people who ran away once Jesus was arrested, who denied knowing him, Peter, who failed to pray with him, who wanted to be asleep instead of praying, the people who ran scared and hid in fear during his crucifixion, I was like, how do these same individuals who we read about in the Gospels become the same individuals who had the patience to wait for the Holy Spirit, who were still a bit unclear and unsure about what was to come? That uncertainty didn't make them run again. It didn't make them act in their own strength. They didn't go out spreading the gospel, or they didn't leave Jerusalem and disobey the Lord. They were still obedient. They waited. They waited well. On top of that, they organized because they had to replace Judas. So they had a structural meeting. They were praying. They were in community. They were waiting well. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. It's a new year, and you may be wondering, what does the future hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down, but nobody really knows for sure. Until then, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their businesses with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backwards and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I would use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free for you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. One of the core values in the Iomi K household is education. My husband and I are lifelong learners, and we believe in using education to help set our kids up for success. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. What I love about IXL Learning is that it creates this immersive experience, so learning feels like play. And for me, someone with young children, that's extremely important because we want to help our kids cultivate a love for learning. And what better way to do that than making it fun? This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. It'll also work for any of your kids. It's powered by algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter what age or personality. It saves you time because one subscription gets you everything. It saves you money because if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact in your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. The math wasn't mathing for me when I was reading this, and this is why I had to pause. And this is what I mean by really throwing yourself into the text, because it allows you to ask good questions that deepen your understanding of what's happening. And in your deeper understanding of the text in context will bring about deeper revelation for you and your own life. So as I was sitting with this, you know what I realized? Something that we often do that I believe discredits what the Lord is doing in our lives, we don't truly understand or value the way in which transformation in Christ and waiting on God are interconnected. So much so that for me in particular, I'll speak about myself, I was so busy judging the apostles that I wasn't even realizing how their transformation that we read about through the Gospels refined them, sanctified them, and prepared them to be the individuals that we see here in the beginning of Acts. How many times as individuals do we focus so much on our own impatience, on our own stress and agony of having to wait, that we discredit the work that the Lord has been doing on the inside of us? What a slap in the face is that to the Lord, when we're so busy worried about timing, when, God, how, when, I want this, when is it going to happen? You promised me this. How many podcasts, YouTube videos, sermons, and we heard about the waiting season, how to wait in the waiting season, how to XYZ in the waiting season. All of this content to appease our impatience, our pride, and how unappreciative we are of the Lord. Jesus' ministry was around 3 years. He appeared after his resurrection. He appeared to the apostles for 40 days on top of that. In that 40 days, he provided them clarity. He restored Peter. He showed them the fulfillment of Scripture. Everything, every internal noise, every doubt, every thought, everything that caused them to behave the way that they did prior to then, the Lord came and he met them there and he answered them. They only had to wait for 10 days compared to all of that time that the Lord personally called them, developed them, sanctified them, to mold them into who we see when we get into Acts. And this was just so good to me because I love to recognize in my reading and studying of the text ways in which my flesh keeps me separate from the Lord, because once it's revealed to me, then I can address it. And I believe that by us focusing so much on the wait, it takes our eyes off of being appreciative and surrendered to and focused on the totality of the way in which the Lord is moving in our lives. I can't be impatient if I'm just glad to be here. You ever been somewhere and it's that person that look like they just happy to be there? Everybody else may be frustrated because the thing may be running, the agenda running over time. People may be coming late. The food ain't good. But it's some folks sometimes they just be happy to be in the room. You can't tell them nothing. They could not have no food, no water. It could never start and never end it. They don't care. They just are happy to be in the room. We need to be so engulfed in gratitude of the goodness of our Lord and Savior that what is a wait? You saved me. I should be dead. I should have lost my mind. I should have. Insert all the consequences of what you deserve. I could think of many for me personally when I was living in the world. What is a weight compared to the Lord loving me so much that he called me unto himself, that he spends time with me, that he has left me with his word, that now because I'm saved, I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with no wait time. So who am I to complain, to try to finesse my way through the period of waiting for whatever promise to manifest in my life? This is just a part of my transformation process. And based upon how much the Lord has done for me up until this point, however long I have to wait is irrelevant, because I just want to stay in this place of serving him and staying connected to him, because I'm that grateful of what he's done for me. I could, if I put myself into the shoes of the disciples, I'm sure the weight of their decisions was weighing heavily on them. Like, man, I ran. When he got arrested, when he got crucified, I scattered. I ran in fear. And just like he said, he rose. And he loved me so much that he came back to continue to reveal himself to us for 40 more days, to answer all of our questions, to reinstate Peter. After Peter denied him 3 times, he came back and affirmed him 3 times. I know they felt the weight of guilt in that moment. How would you feel? Really, really think about this. I give you the details of how they abandoned Jesus for a reason. I give you these for a reason because I want you to place yourself into the totality of the text so you understand where we are. How would you feel if you behaved the way that they did and you still saw how good the Lord is? If you can't see yourself in their stories, think about your own. How do you feel when all them times you told the Lord, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to give my life to you, but then you reneged on that? How many times have you said, God, this is going to be the year that I get in my word and I turn away from sin, but then you backtracked on that? How many times have you said, God, I give you my all, and then you took it back? And every time you came back to him, he welcomed you with open arms. So many things that he's protected you from that you didn't even deserve. How many times has that happened in your personal life? Take a second and think about that. When I thought about this, when reading this text, man, it just brought me to a place of gratitude and to a place of repentance of every time I have looked at waiting seasons through fleshly eyes. And I pray, because we could have talked, when we talk about the wait, I could have talked about how to wait well and went over some of the things that the disciples did in this time, because they were very productive and not in a disobedient way at all. The Lord told them, don't go nowhere. They didn't. So they used that 10 days wisely. They went back to Jerusalem because they were in Mount of Olives at the time. They came together in prayer and worship. They maintained their unity, moving together on one accord. They reflected on scripture. As I said before, they organized by replacing Judas, and then they waited in expectation for the Lord. So they were productive during this time. But to me, what matters more than the tasks that they did was the heart posture in which they approached the tasks. Because we could just be in the waiting season doing stuff, sure. But the heart posture is from a place of gratitude, devotion, total surrender, total obedience to the Lord. And it's that heart posture they had, that conviction, that when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit and they went out, the Holy Spirit allowed them to be so impactful. But I believe it was also this heart posture that kept them focused, that allowed them to persevere, and then allowed them to defend the faith until the day that they died. So if you find yourself in a waiting season, I want to introduce you to a new way of looking at it. It's not just this gap between what he said he is in the Lord and waiting for it to manifest. This is just a part of the total transformation process. And if you go through this season, yours might be 10 days, it might be one, it might be five, it might be 100, it might be 10 years. The time period is 100% contingent upon what the Lord's plan is for you. But whatever the time period is, I want you to not just look at it as a space of agony or a space of suffering, even if it feels like that, even if your impatience wants to win. I want you to look at it as a part of your total transformation process and look at your life from when you first gave your heart to the Lord. Look at what he's brought you through and look at it just in its fullness, because I believe that that is going to allow your faith to be way stronger than what your impatience or your flesh may feel in this season. And it is that heart posture, that connection, that intimacy, that gratitude and devotion that you have for the Lord that's going to carry you when the waiting season is over through whatever trials, suffering, obstacles that are going to come after that and come with whatever it is that he blesses you with. So I hope that this blessed you. This blessed me. I pray that not only am I giving you a new perspective on how to look at a particular season, but I hope that I'm also giving you some insight on how to study the word in a way in which you can get deeper revelation. Deeper revelation doesn't mean more mysterious, because that's how the enemy swoops in and deceives often folks who are looking for deep. He comes in with woo-woo, and then you get swept away into that. I'm talking about, when I say deeper revelation, I just simply mean it allows you to better identify and understand what the text is saying in context, is what I mean. But again, I pray that this blessed you. I pray that this allows you to have a new perspective and also gives you a new approach as you read the word. I am excited about what's to come for our Bible on Business series as we continue to explore the text. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Join us in the society for our First Fruits Fast. The link is in the show notes. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.